Responding with Graciousness. A compilation.
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4:6-7. Paul came to Athens after fleeing persecution by the Thessalonians in Berea. His witness at Athens is the most detailed account in Acts of a Christian teacher challenging non-Jewish thinkers. Athens in Paul's day was not at the height of its intellectual, cultural, or military influence, but it was still a cultural powerhouse. Yet Paul was greatly distressed because the city was full of idols. But instead of unleashing a thundering condemnation on the Athenians, Paul began to reason with the Jews in the synagogue and with the God-fearing Greeks day by day, as was his custom. There was a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Athens who began to debate with Paul. Although they wrongly accused him of being a babbler or intellectual plagiarist who advocated foreign gods, they nevertheless invited him to speak to the Areopagus. Paul found common ground by noting that they were very religious, given their many objects of worship. Paul knew this was idolatry, but he used a neutral description in order to build a bridge instead of erecting a wall. We too should be distressed by the emblems of unbelief in our midst, yet we should try to discern and capitalize on points of contact with these other worldviews. Paul then reports that he had found an altar to an unknown god. But what they took to be unknown, Paul now declares to them. His declaration is a masterpiece of Christian persuasion, the beauty of which cannot be captured in a short space. Knowing the perspective of the philosophers he was facing, Paul begins not with the message of Jesus, but the biblical doctrine of creation. Paul affirms that a personal and transcendent God created the entire universe, which depends on him for its continued existence. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. This sets up a sharp antithesis between Christianity and both philosophical camps. The Stoics believed in an impersonal world soul, something like today's New Age spiritual principle or the Force in the Star Wars movies, while the Epicureans believed in several deities who had no interest in humanity. This creator, Paul declares, is also closely involved with humanity. He created all people from one man and established the conditions in which they live. He did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Paul presents a God who is personal, transcendent, immanent, and relational. He conveys all this before uttering a word about Christ. Paul should be our apologetic model here as well. Unless we establish a biblical view of God, people will likely place Jesus in the wrong world view, taking him to be merely a guru or swami or prophet rather than Lord, God, and Savior. Doug Gruthius. Seasoned with salt. A believer's words are to be seasoned with salt so that we can know how to answer everyone. Sharing the gospel includes knowing it, sharing it accurately, and doing so with a humble and gracious attitude, in a palatable way. Believers are called to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Having an unwholesome, distasteful attitude is not becoming to the gospel of Christ. Unsavory motives and attitudes do not produce words seasoned with salt. While not every conversation must specifically be about God, every conversation should be seasoned with salt. We should always be ready to answer others' questions about our faith, and our words should always reflect Christ, bringing a different flavor to what might otherwise be an unsavory conversation. What a Christian says and how he says it ought to add value to a conversation, just as salt does for food. Just as salt has healing properties, our words should bring healing and goodness, encouraging its hearers and pointing them to the one who is vital for life. GotQuestions.org. Salt and Light. Passing the hope that is in us along to others is one of our greatest gifts and joys in life. Lifting downcast spirits through our love, joy, and confidence in God's Word is a key to what makes us who we are. When people see the hope that is in you, they are drawn to it as one is to light in a dark place. Jesus compared that special spark of life that sets us apart from the children of this world to salt. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." Maria Fontaine. Pope John Paul II was reported as speaking to university students about overcoming the temptation of mediocrity and conformity. He said, "Following Christ, the crucified King, believers learn that to reign is to serve, seeking the good of others, and they discover that the real meaning of love is expressed in the sincere gift of self." He stated that when life is lived with this spirit, the Christian becomes the salt of the earth. He went on to say, "It is not an easy way. It is often contrary to the mentality of your contemporaries. It means, of course, to go against the current with respect to the prevailing conduct and fashions. The mystery of the cross teaches a way of being and acting that is not in accord with the spirit of this world. As Christians, we are called to spice things up with the seasoning of faith we bring. We must also realize that not everyone will like the flavor or be amenable to having the world around them seasoned with beliefs and values that are different from the ones they have been accustomed to. Some things, including challenges to our faith and opposition, are part of the Christian walk." In Colossians, Paul said, "Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, seasoned with salt, so that you will have the right response for everyone." This seems to present a good balance of making the most of every opportunity in our witness to those who are unbelievers, while ensuring that our speech is both gracious and attractive, and seasoned with the salt of our faith and Christian example. That is what Paul concludes will enable us to have the right response to everyone. Or as Peter said, "To be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." It has been said that God scattered the early Christians throughout the world to salt the whole earth and enlighten all mankind. Ultimately, salt is embraced by many people as a needed ingredient that will bring out the best in food. When Jesus compared his followers to salt and light, it seems a reasonable assumption that he expected Christians to be embraced by many, and for the Christian faith to become as essential as salt and light to many people's lives. That's quite a commission and quite a privilege that he empowers us to have an impact on others and be a force for good in their lives. It's up to each of us to carry those qualities of salt within us so that we can season the world around us with his flavoring. The goal of manifesting a Christian example and following Jesus' teachings has always been to be able to be the salt of the earth, part of the light of the world, a city set on a hill, that attracts others to the Lord so that they too can come to know and love him, and if they're willing, to help others to do the same. May the Lord bless your life and strengthen your witness and works so that they can serve as the salt of the earth and a lamp to light the paths of many. Peter Amsterdam. Grace-filled speech. You've probably heard familiar sayings about our speech. There are many. Don't put your foot in your mouth. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Loose lips sink ships, and so on. A multitude of phrases and proverbs like this exist because all of us have regrets about times we've spoken carelessly or hurtfully. Solomon wrote that words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. The Apostle Paul tells us that our conversation is to be always full of grace, carrying on each word the loving kindness of God. Our speech must be seasoned with salt, flavorful, purifying, and healing where necessary. When these thoughts govern our speaking, we will know how to answer everyone without having deep regrets later. Our world seems to go for sarcastic speech, harsh comebacks, and combative talk. Choose instead to be gracious and courteous with your words. Others may find it so pleasant and attractive that they will want to know more about Jesus. The words you use can bring hope and meaning into someone's life. HavenToday.org.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.